the podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard it made me cry.
Welcome to the Run, Run, Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes, who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. Now, this is not Chris, your host. This is Sweet Daddy D. I'm the guest announcer this week. When you're done listening to the Run, Run, Live podcast, come visit me on Twitter, SweetDaddyD69, where we can tweet it up and get into some very interesting conversations with the rest of my followers. And once in a great while, and I mean great, great while, I will tell you how my training is going. So, if you do follow me, let me know that you heard me on this podcast, and I will follow you back. So, whenever and wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in.
Are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run.
How'd you like the race?
It was good.
What do you think? This is nice. 50-year race. Mm-hmm. Got this nice sweatshirt. That was pretty good,
I
right?
I like this sweatshirt. Yeah. Very warm.
And it's very friendly. All my friends come over here from the running club.
Yeah.
At least, what, 20 of them?
Yeah, I don't know. That was a big...
My buddy Anthony, the mountain bike maniac, was the race director. He's on the race committee now. He's a firefighter here. But I had a great race.
You did?
I ran a 5K. I don't know. I think part of it might be that I actually warmed up before this race.
Yeah.
So I went out and ran two miles.
You ran before?
Yeah, I ran 2 miles before with Buddy. Buddy didn't race with me because...
He's not allowed.
It just isn't fair to him, and it isn't fair to the people out there to have him all over the place. When I'm running, you know, I'd have to go way to the back.
Or way to the front.
That or way work. To the front, but yeah, good race. That's great. I'm so happy now.
I'm glad.
I'm on top of the world. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, that's enough.
This is the noise of Thanksgiving at the in-laws. What do you think? I'm just sitting in the corner hiding. A little too much for me.
Old pirates, yes, they rob I, sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption songs, redemption songs.
Hello and welcome to episode 98 of the Run, Run, Live podcast. Welcome, fellow travelers. Today, we got an interesting show for you. We talked to Randy McCarter, who's an ordained minister in the Church of Christ, about the relationship between running and our relationship with God. Now, at this point, I got to put a disclaimer in that this episode was intended as a thoughtful conversation, not a promotion of any specific theology. My intent was to, you know, to have a discussion with someone who has a specific personal relationship with their God and was also a dedicated runner. So I hope you take it in the spirit that it was intended. It's an interesting discussion. I'd love to hear what you think. I will not talk about myself or my beliefs. However, Buddy wanted me to let you know that he's a dyed-in-the-wool Church of England Episcopalian, and I'm hoping to get him a vicarship. He'd be good at it. He's a great listener, He's good at comforting stressed-out people, and you'll never have to worry about him molesting your wife or children, unless, of course, they have hidden bacon in their pants, but that's another story. My second disclaimer is that I was out walking the dog in the neighborhood when I was interviewing Randy, and it was really windy, so there's some wind noise in there. I tried to get it out, but please excuse that. It comes and goes, so if you can get through that. So to quote Robert Duvall's character in the movie Broken Trail, great cowboy movie, "We are all travelers in this world, from the sweet grass to the packing house. Birth till death, we travel between the eternities. On with the show."
Hi, my name is Randy McCarter. I'm an ordained minister with the Church of God out of Cleveland, Tennessee, and a runner. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to discuss this subject of how you show us things about yourself in the physical things that we do, like running, and all around us, Lord. And I thank you that like running, you've made a relationship with you very simple. Lord, you've shown us that to cross the right finish line, which be in heaven, we have to cross the right starting line, which is Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross for us. Lord, I pray a blessing upon each one that's hearing this, Lord, that it would draw them closer to you and they would be able to see you all around as we do things like running that you've given to us. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, man, this is Chris down by the pond with my friend Buddy. Like a little wind noise here. Go ahead, go swim. Go swim. I'm going to talk for about 4 minutes. It's getting dark. It's about 4:30. Got my headlamp with me today, though, so I don't lose any more blood on the trail. I hear that wind can be like 50, 60 mile an hour gusts. Been raining all day, but it's not raining hard now. Just sort of a drizzle. Day after Thanksgiving, ran a Thanksgiving 5K yesterday morning. Did really well. I ran 6:28 for a 20:03 clock finish, which I'm pretty pleased with considering, yeah, I just didn't dip that far into the pain locker. It was just another day at the races. I can't say I went anaerobic at all. I just ran my race, and it felt good, felt strong. So I went out strong, didn't go out too fast like I usually do. I held back, passed the first mile mark around 6:05, 6:10, somewhere in there, which isn't too fast for me. I know some of you are going to say, "Oh my God, 6:10, that's so fast," but that's not too fast. I can run a 6-minute mile, but I can only run one of them. So, you know, anything, I was thinking around a 6:40 pace. Are you going to bite me now, dog? Go on, go swim. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to myself. Go swim. What? He loves this weather, the rainy weather. And then usually what happens in this race is I crash in the middle mile. Yeah, when I run 5Ks, that's what happens. I go out too fast, I try to hang with the leaders, and then I crash in the middle miles. But this one, I get a little fatigued and sort of hung, but I was able to hang back, and then third mile, I crossed when I hit the second mile mark, I was like, crap, you know, I'm doing great. I'm just going to hold this pace, and I'm not going to try to kick or anything. I'm just going to hold this pace and be comfortable. And I just sort of ran it in. But then it was funny because I was getting close to the finish line. Had to be pretty close because I could see the clock with my old eyes. And I looked at it, and it's going 19:48. And I'm like, oh, crap. Now I got to try to make it under 20 minutes, right? So I kicked it, but I didn't nip it in the bud. And I ran with my daughter, and about 30 of my club members were over there. We it's a great little race over in air, little 5K. Wow, hear that wind? That's amazing. I get snow tonight. So my furnace is broken at home. It's all done for. So I've had to buy a new furnace. It's going to cost me like $6,000, you know? Just when you think you're getting ahead in life, the furnace goes out. So I got nothing to complain about. I'm healthy. I'm happy. Just don't have any money. So yeah, good race. Ended up doing real well. So I don't know. I was wearing my New Balance 800s, those Chi running shoes, which were okay for those 5Ks because you're basically up on your toes, you know, up on your midsole the whole time you race. And I've been doing a lot of progression runs where you go, you know, slow, harder, and then finish hard, finish tempo. And that really helps in short races. And I've still been doing some interval work as well. Plus, you know, running these marathons, I ran 2 marathons last month. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It doesn't have to wipe you out unless you let it. It actually can be a strengthening exercise. It's up to you. I mean, I feel really strong right now. They don't necessarily have to knock you out. You know, it just depends how you run them. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, no furnace. Got to get that installed. It was cleaning the basement today. Oh, my God. My wife's a pack rat. I know it's getting personal. Got a great show for you today. This is episode 98. Only one more week for you to get the comments in for the 100th episode. And I'll tell you who I'm interviewing. I'm interviewing today on this show. I'm interviewing Randy Randy McCarter, Pastor Randy McCarter, about some spirituality stuff. I thought it would be cool. And then the next interview, I interviewed this lady that's buddy barking at me. He's like, what are you doing? Let's play. I interviewed this lady, Catherine, from Kenya. She actually called me from Kenya about this program she's doing with running and street children in Kenya. Really cool. And then ultra cool, for the 100th episode, I got Ray from the Run Across Sahara movie, the Run Sahara movie, and a pretty cool guy. So I just recorded that today as well. So it's all good. I guess somebody's calling me. I guess I gotta go. Do I gotta go now? Do I? Yeah, so you got a week to get me in comments about the 100th episode, and I'm not looking for the Emmy Award comments, you know, the ones that go, Chris, you're such a wonderful person, we love you, I don't need any of that. What I'm looking for is, what's your advice to other runners? You know, why do you do it, and why should they do it? I don't know, he's insane. The older he gets, the weirder he gets, just like me. We're a perfect match, me and this stupid dog. Don't bite me. I will turn you into a throw rug. See ya.
And now for the equipment check.
Got a few quick equipment notes for you. First, I have acquired a Garmin 205 from one of my Twitter pals. Thank you. It has so far told me what I already know, that it takes me a mile to warm up, and then I go like hell, and then I slow down at the end. It's good. I like it. But, you know, now I can't lie as much about my mileage. So I'll tell you how that works as we go. I think it's going to really... I got it because I'm going to need to do some pace training as I take on some new goals. The second thing I wanted to close the loop on was the infamous bamboo underwear that I got from Saks Appeal. These underwear, they're not appropriate for athletics because they have this raised seam in it, and I think that would cut you up. But you can try it. But they are sexy as heck. And you should check them out. You should at least go to the website and look at them. They might be a good present material for the man in your life. And it's at www.saks2xsapparel.com, all one word. Careful what you Google there. You might end up someplace bad. Just a quickie for you today, because we're tight on time.
Spent his whole life being too young to live the life that's in his dreams. At night he lies awake and he wonders, why can't that be me? 'Cause in his life he's filled with all these good intentions. He's left a lot of things he'd rather not mention right now, just before he says goodnight. He looks up with a little smile at me and he says, if I could be like that, well, I would give anything just to live one day in those shoes. If I could be like that, what would I do? What would I do?
Knock, knock. Who's there? To who? Too stupid to check batteries in his headlamp before he goes out in the freaking storm at night. I'm being running in a moon shadow. Moon shadow, moon shadow. Ay, ay, ay. Dog, where are you?
And now for our featured interview.
All right, so kind of an interesting show tonight. I have with me Randy, who is a pastor and a runner. And I got this thought in my mind over the last couple of weeks, Randy, to explore a little bit the connection between running and religion, running and God and your relationship with God, and running and sort of spiritualism. Because my sense is at some basic level that there's a connection there. And I think you can help me with, you know, your training and your knowledge of sort of teasing that out of how it manifests itself in our religious traditions as well. So why don't you tell us who you are and a couple words about yourself and what you do?
Well, my name is Pastor Randy McCarter, and as you said, I'm a runner. I've been running for, a long time, but been racing, I guess, off and on for the past 10 years or so, and road races and everything. And I pastor a church in a little town in northeast Nebraska, Church of God, New Life Church of God is the name of it. And there definitely is a connection there. You know, you don't know, like you said, where you want to go with that, but like I said, it goes back to the Bible with the Apostle Paul. That's where I first really see, you know, using the Comparison-Olympic Games to our relationship with God, our relationship with Christ. He uses many parallels, and so there really is something there.
So what you're saying is that in the earliest scriptures here, that Paul is using a metaphor of running in the Olympic Games as a metaphor for what? For religion itself, or for how you approach religion?
Well, religion, you know, I don't know if that's the right word. You know, I know that's just the word we're using. It's more of a relationship, you know, which Paul's talking about, a relationship with Christ.
And no, I'm with you. I'm with you there, because I think the word religion has a lot of baggage with it. And that's why I've been trying carefully to talk about the relationship or the spirituality. So I'm with you on that. So
yeah, religion, I think, is it's more like you said, just the traditional thing, and in my opinion, is the enemy of our relationship with and you know, like I said, with me, when we're spiritual matters, it's my relationship with Christ. There's no wide ranging thing there. You know, it's all in Jesus Christ. So, you know, that's the way I'm going to put it. But this is what Paul's talking about. Like I said, and you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, we don't maybe have time to quote all those scriptures, but go back there and read those things, beginning especially around chapter 24. And he specifically lays out, you know, that he compares our what he calls running our race with the Olympians who are running a race, and they're running to obtain the prize, as he calls it. And you know, I sat down today and this morning and kind of put down some, you know, as a pastor, I have to organize my thoughts and put them down, you know. So I kind of did the same thing here. Hopefully,
I'm helping you with your next missive from the pulpit here, aren't I?
You know, you actually are, Chris. Probably this will be maybe even next Sunday will manifest itself into a sermon turning around the other way, and using the running to explain the spiritual part.
Right.
So you've helped me out, but it goes back to Paul. I even thought today, I thought of the prophet Elijah way back in the Old Testament. There was a point where he had been talking with God and had prayed that there'd be no rain, and there was no rain in the land for a long time, and then he prayed that it would rain, and it talked about him, the old King James way of putting it, said he girded up his loins and he ran, and he outran Naaman's chariot all the way back to the across to where they were going, back to where the queen was. And, you know, I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but there's running all in the Bible. And then you can move on up a little further, and I'm sure you've heard of Eric Liddell. He was the Olympic runner that they made the movie Chariots of Fire about.
Yeah.
And I thought about him today as I was thinking about this too in preparation for this, and a quote that he had, and this is sort of the way I feel. Now, I'm not nowhere near the athlete that he was, and not nearly as fast or anything like that, but a quote that he made, he was if you don't know, he was a missionary and a preacher and a missionary to China, and that was his first and foremost calling in life. As a matter of fact, he skipped one of his main Olympic competitions that he was supposed to be in because it fell at a time that when he was supposed to also be preaching a sermon.
Yeah, and his his clear priorities were his missionary work first, and then his running was sort of an adjunct.
It was, but one of his most famous quotes, and I've used this before, was he says, "I believe God made me for a purpose, but He also made me fast, and when I run, I feel His pleasure." And that's sort of the way I feel. You know, when I'm out there running, I feel that, you know, I give God all the glory. And, you know, and he says that too. Another of his quotes is, "Run in His glory and let the world stand back in wonder." You know, that His glory can be shown, God's glory can be shown in anything that we do, and it should be in everything that we do. And when I run, you know, I can see His glory all around me, first of all. It's, you know, it's the place where I feel closest to Him. It's the place where I get a lot of my sermon ideas. But
absolutely.
You know, I'm so thankful that, I know one of my Twitter friends, I think her profile says some people, let's see, how does she put it? Some people run to be healthy. I stay healthy to run. You know?
Yeah.
And I like that. And that's kind of the way I feel. You know, I feel like that I'm just so thankful that at my age and everything and the life that I did live, you know, I've not always been like I am, that I'm still healthy enough to get out there, you know, and just it's just to be out there, you know, alone, taking one step at a time and just running, you know.
Yeah, you know, I talk a lot about the mind-body connection, and I really feel that the act of running, and, you know, you have to sort of get to a certain level of your running before it happens, but,
right.
You know, some people call it the runner's high or whatever.
Definitely.
You know, something turns on chemically in the brain, and you do get an almost atavistic spiritual feeling when you're out in the woods with the dog. There's something primal about it.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm just wondering how much of that is just pure chemistry versus some sort of higher-level spiritual nature.
Well, there's a lot of it I do think is just chemistry. You know, scientifically, I think there is a chemical that's released in the body in exercise that's the body's natural painkiller, and the name of that escapes me just at the moment for some reason. But
I found
the same thing true when I used to... I used to power lift and weight lift a lot when I was a little bit younger, before I was a runner, and you get the same thing there, but it's still different because you're in a gym and there's people all around. When you're running, you're out there by yourself, and there is something about it. Like I said, I put down quickly some things today that just parallels your walk with Christ and your relationship with God. And I can quickly go through those if you want.
Go ahead.
And I thought, what is it about this? I mean, you got me thinking about this the other day, you know, by asking, because I've felt it, but I've never really thought about it other than using these illustrations. So,
I think that's what I'm trying to get to, right? I want to have a conversation about it, not dictate, because I think that's really what our social community is all about, is the conversation, right?
Oh, right.
And it's interesting to me. So, yeah, go ahead.
I want to do the same thing. You know, I don't want to preach you a sermon. You know, I want to help you get to what you're wanting to get at. But this is helping me, too, so I'm glad you brought it up. The one thing that I think I love most is I just call it the one-step-at-a-time factor. I mean, when you're out there running, and especially night running, and especially on a dark trail, you've got your headlamp on, can't see anything but the step in front of you. You know, if you look backwards, you'll fall. If you start looking to the side, you'll get disoriented. You'll stumble. You know, you can hurt yourself. And it's the same thing when you're walking by faith. You know, with Abraham, God called him and he said, "I'm calling you to a place that I'll, you know, I'm putting this in my own words, but that I'll show you when you get there." He had to take it one step at a time, and that's what we do. You know, when we come to Christ and we come to a relationship with God as our Father, he doesn't show us the whole picture all at once. We have to take that one step at a time, and we grow and mature with each step, and it's exactly the same way with running. You got to take that step, but there's no way that you can ever take more than one at a time. You can't go from the start to the finish without taking the one step, you know, at a time in between. So that's my favorite one, and that's why I like to run, because I get out there and I have to just focus on one step at a time.
So in a sense, it simplifies it for you.
It does. It really does. And it helps me to focus my faith in the same way. And I can stop and think. I've got to do this the same way that I do my running. You know, when things start coming up and it seems like, you know, in this world, you know, sometimes we seem to be getting overwhelmed with details and little things. You know, I have to step back and just say, you know, it's just like my running. I've got to remember, you know, one step at a time. You know, God will show me the next step when I get to the next step, and I just have to just take one at a time.
So I guess the learning of the metaphor there would be that when you're racing or you're running, you know, every time you toe the line, you don't know what's going to happen until you start.
Well,
and it's not until you get out there that you're actually going to discover what the journey's going to be like.
That's true, yeah. There is truth to that, but it carries on further. there's the one step at a time, but then there's the, you have to look forward. Paul talks about that again in Philippians. He talks about forgetting what's behind, and he uses the word, he says, reaching forward. And the Greek word there that he uses is actually, once again, refers back to the Olympic runners in that day who would stretch forward. And I'm sure you've watched the Olympic runners, how they stretch their chest forward as they come to that finish, you know, rope or whatever it is there that they cross to try to even to get that just a little bit of advantage to cross that line first. And that's actually where this word come from. So we have to take one step at a time. We have to look forward. We can't be looking backwards at what's behind us. You know, yesterday we had a bad run. We got to put that behind us, and we got to move forward with today's. You know, the first mile felt bad, but now we're starting to feel better. We've got to look forward, and then you can move on just a little further. You've got a goal. This can be in training. You've got a goal. I mean, I never run. Or at least I haven't yet, where I just went out and said, well, I'm just going to go till I get tired. Because if I do that, I'll stop at mile one. You know, so I've got a goal every time I go out. It may not, you know, everybody's goal is going to be different. And it may be that mine may be 5 miles, yours may be 25 miles, you know. But whatever that goal is, I'm going to reach that goal. And that helps me in taking my one step at a time, because I'm looking ahead knowing that I'm going to that goal. But yet, you focus on the one step at a time. It's sort of hard to explain, but it's not. When you're out there, you've got that to look ahead on, but you still have to just focus on one step at a time to get to that ultimate goal. But the ultimate goal keeps you going. And if you have little problems in between, you know, the ultimate goal keeps you from giving up. So you can take that even one step further than the 5 mile goal. Say I'm training for a half marathon. So I was training for a half marathon, really, and that's my next thing I'm going to talk about here. If you miss one day running, you don't stop because you've got this goal that's 18 weeks out that you're looking at. So spiritually, that's where we are. We've come to Christ. We've come to Christ the way that God has prescribed us for us to do. You know, through his sacrifice on the cross, we received that. We received his forgiveness, and we've got this goal of heaven someday. So we're looking beyond this life and knowing that this is not all there is. So if we have one bad day here, it doesn't destroy us because we have something to look forward to. But yet we still have to take one day at a time, one step at a time here, walking with the Holy Spirit as our guide. And you could go on and on with these parallels. It's unreal. You know, the next one I was talking about was you have pains and injuries. I mean, you know, you've been running a lot longer than I have, I'm sure. And you know when you run that there's constant, it's a constant balance between having pains and injuries and should I run and should I not run. And there's always something coming up if you run serious. And just like I said, I was training for a half marathon. I was four weeks out, and I started having some fairly serious shin pain. And 10 years ago, I had a stress fracture, so I wanted to make sure that it wasn't that, so I had to lay off for a while. But in the meantime, it turned out it wasn't a stress fracture. It turned out that I started looking at my foot strike. I started looking at the stride, the way I was running, and I was being sloppy in my running. And I've learned and I've grown through that experience, and I'm back to running. I didn't go on for that half marathon because it was so close. Plus, we were going to be traveling, and there's other reasons, but I decided to skip that one. But I'm ready now to start training again within 4 weeks by stepping back, you know, and learning through this thing. And the same way that God either allows or sends trials into our lives and things that we go through that are not pleasant sometimes, and we wonder, you know, you always hear the same, why do good people suffer, you know, or why does a person who is giving their life to the Lord suffer? Well, you know, sometimes I think it's that same way. These little things are allowed into our lives because we learn and we grow and we're refined and we're strengthened by them, and we're able to go on to run the full race by learning from these smaller things.
Well, here's an interesting point in there, Randy.
Yeah,
which I would ask, because I've seen different interpretations in the various religious texts of, you know, when I think about running, I find it very empowering, and it's an active way for me to empower myself. And the question is, you know, in the is when you think about religion, some or you know, the church, a lot of times they're preaching humility and deferment and not empowerment per se. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I'll tell you that I actually had that in here.
There you go.
Something like that. And there is one big difference now, but yet even in that difference, you find similarities. Where we're talking about reaching God, you know, and like I said, you know, I'm not preaching you a religion, but this is, you know, I've got a. If you get to know me a little bit better, you'll know that there's only one way with me, and it's the truth and love, and it's not, you know, that's just how it is. But, you know, in John 14:6, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And we come to God through Christ. Christ paid our sin for our sins. He redeemed us from the death penalty that we were under for those sins at the cross with the perfect sacrifice of his life. And what I'm getting to is with running, you're right. What we have to go out, we do the work. And I think I'm getting to what you're asking. If I'm not, you can ask it again, a different, you know, tell me where I missed it. But with our faith, Christ did all the work. We simply receive it, and we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. But even in that, it's us who has to make the decision to receive what he's given, and we have to move forward on our own. And yes, we are empowered, but it's not our own power. It's not our work. It's not our goodness or our intellect or anything. It's we're empowered through what we are in Christ. And yes, there is empowerment, but there's humility at the same time, because we realize that it's not in us, but it's in Christ.
Okay, so if I'm going out and training for my, you know, my bus and qualifier, I'm not being an egomaniac. I'm actually fulfilling my spiritual destiny or what's already embodied in me spiritually.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure I exactly follow what you're saying there, but you're definitely not being an egomaniac, because I believe God, you know, gives us talents and abilities. He gives us he made our very bodies.
Right.
I believe like just like Eric Liddell, you know, if he made you in a way that you can do that,
exactly,
you need to do it, and he wants you to do it, and I do believe he wants us to give him the glory for it, and we shouldn't. If somebody congratulates me, you know, I say thanks. You know, I'm not gonna sit there and say, well, you know, it wasn't me, and all this kind of stuff, because all that is reverse pride. This is the way I put it. If you try to act humble, really you're just proud, and you're proud of your humility, you know, which is just a, you know, it's just ridiculous. You know, it's just a, like I said, reverse pride. But
sure, I got
on the other hand, I want God to get the glory for it, because he's the one who allows me, as I said, through all my mistakes in life, you know, in my younger days, not taking care of my body, and, you know, to be where I am now and still be able to get out and do the athletic things that I do. You know, I thank him every day that I can do that.
Well, I had some interesting questions and from people when I was talking about this. A lot of times people treat their athletics sort of like penitence. They're almost whipping themselves to cleanse themselves with these, you know, ultra long runs and stuff. What are your thoughts on that? You know, they're like medieval penitents almost.
Say that again. They're doing it to cleanse themselves of the, to try to over make up for the bad?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going out to do a long run to make up for, you know, to make me feel better about something else that I didn't do. Right, make up for eating poorly or smoking or whatever.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, that's a good question, and I'll answer it this way. It's exactly like our faith, exactly like we can't work our way to God. The Isaiah says all of our good works are like filthy rags to God. It's only in Christ's righteousness that's good. So if we sit around and we smoke and we drink and go beyond moderation in anything till it damages our bodies, we don't sleep right, and then go out and try to do the long run, it's probably going to do us more harm than good. because our body's not prepared for that. And I don't know who it was, but somewhere a while back when I was reading about the two guys that died, I think was the Detroit Marathon. Was that the one that had heart attack?
Detroit.
And there was a lot of people were talking a lot about, why is this kind of stuff happening? And I don't know who it was that said that, but I read somewhere, said, why is it that we think that we can just go out and have a long run and it'll overcome all of our other poor habits and all of our other poor lifestyle choices? In the same way, you're exactly right. That's what people do in the run, and people do the same thing with faith, or like we said, and when you do it that way, it really is religious, because they live and do whatever they want to during the week, and then they go and do the religious ceremonial thing on Sunday and think that's going to make up for it, and it doesn't work in the run, and it doesn't work with faith and spiritual matters either. And
sure, so you need humility in that. In all things.
And it's got to be real. It's got to be something that's a 24-hour a day, 7 day a week thing that you do. It can't just be something that you try to make up for one day a week or one day a month or whatever,
All right. So we're running out of time here.
Okay.
So when you're all racing and you're at the end of your 10K, do you ever have a personal conversation with Jesus to help you get your PR?
Oh yeah.
Do you pray? Yeah.
I pray. Matter of fact, that my best prayer time is when I'm running, and it's not always just about my sermon. I do pray, Lord, give me the strength. I know I've got it in me. I know that you've given it to me. You've kept my health. You've made me healthy. Help me to relax. Help me to run this last mile. Help me to get across that finish line in the goal that I set. Oh, definitely, and I think
there's absolutely
nothing wrong with that, and I think God looks at us and smiles, especially when we're giving him the glory for it.
Well, that's great. You're going to have to say some prayers for me next time you're running.
I definitely will.
Any kind of website or anything like that you'd like people to know about?
Well, of course I've got my Twitter account. It's just Randy McCarter, at Randy McCarter. That's my Twitter
account. All right.
As far as a blog, I do have a blog, and it's just PastorRandy01@blogspot.com. And I do some things there. I haven't done as much as I want to do and plan to start doing more there. Now, that's not a running blog. It's more of my spiritual blog.
Sure. But if people want to see you, they can get you there. And when you writing up this sermon, I'm going to ask you to lay the audio recorder on the lectern when you're giving this sermon, so we can all get a copy of it, because I'd be interested to see how it manifests.
I would love to do that. I would love to.
All right. It's
and
a deal.
I really appreciate you asking me to do this and giving me the opportunity to think through these things and share them with everyone.
No, it's been cool. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate your
time. It's great to meet you. All right. I'm going to let you go now.
Okay, you have a good evening, and happy Thanksgiving, and to everybody out there as well.
Yeah, enjoy Tennessee. You're on vacation in Tennessee. Go Volunteers.
All right. Thank you. See you later, Chris.
All right, bye-bye.
Goodbye.
One more thing. Thank you, O Lord, for the white blind light. Thank you, O Lord, for the white blind light. A city rises from the sea. I had a splitting headache from which the future's made.
Here's today's quick tips.
Quick tip for today, progression runs. I think I've talked about this before, and so have other people, but it's a great way to train for races. It's really, it makes you feel great. You start, what a progression run is you start 15 to 30 seconds per mile slower than your normal running pace. Like if you just went out and ran 3 miles, what would you run it at? Run slower than that for the first third of it. And then the second third, in the middle part of it, you run your regular pace. And then you drop down to a tempo pace and finish strong in the final third of that easy run. And, for example, I do 6-mile progression runs on my easy days, and I've been doing these on the treadmill, so it's easy to program in the paces. So the first 2 miles, I do it 15 seconds per mile slower. than my regular normal running pace, because I know what it is from all these years. And then the second 2 miles I run right at or a little bit below that normal running pace. Then the fifth mile I drop it down to tempo, which is about, for me, which is about 10K pace, a little bit slower, maybe 10 seconds slower than 10K pace. And then for that 6 mile, I'll see how I'll feel. And if I still feel okay, I feel like I have gas in the tank, I'll drop that down to a fast tempo, like a 5K pace. It helps to have a treadmill or a Garmin to do this, but this will train you physically and psychologically to finish strong. It won't take a lot out of you, and it will make you feel fantastic after your workout. So give it a try. Okay, my friends, that's it. You've listened to another episode of the Run, Run, Live podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I, of course, enjoyed putting it together, as always. I've been training hard, as usual, fighting through some colds that the kids have brought around. I don't actually catch the colds, but I do get some of the symptoms, and I lose energy for a while. I still feel it. Work has been absolutely insane. I am blessed to have so many excellent challenges laid before me each day for 12 or 14 hours a day. It's good to run. Next week, we'll be talking to Catherine, who runs an organization in Kenya for street children. It is extremely compelling stuff, and I think you'll enjoy it. For the 100th episode in 2 weeks, we're talking to Ray Zahab from the Run the Sahara movie. Pretty cool. Again, if you have any comments for me for the 100th episode, send them in. Text, audio, don't care. We'll get them on. I got the bug right now to ramp up my miles and try to crush a marathon or half marathon. I've been sort of working towards that. I was at the Goon Squad Runners banquet last night. I won 2 second place prizes, but I also met their coach, professional coach they have, Fernando. So I might hit him up to actually, I guess you could say a man who has himself as a coach has a fool for a client. So I might hit Fernando up for some real coaching. The big news here today was I think I was able to backdoor an entry into Boston through my long-term service to the community around here. And yeah, I broke down and I asked for one, which is an interesting topic, which I'll leave you with. Runners are independent people. We believe that we can take action to improve our lives. We take responsibility for our fitness, and we take responsibility for our lives, and many times for the lives of others. And it's great to be independent. But sometimes you have to give the people the gift of letting them help you. Even if you don't need their help or want their help, don't let your pride get in the way. Give them the gift of asking for and letting them help you. You know, Ben Franklin gives an example in his autobiography of a man that he had a bad relationship with, didn't get along with this guy, and they just didn't like each other. So one day, Ben decided that what he would do is he would ask this man for a favor, and he asked to borrow a book, which in those days was a rare and valuable thing. And in this way, he gave the man a compliment, and he got into his good graces, and they became friends. So my friends, do someone the favor, give someone the compliment of letting them help you. No man or woman is an island in this world or in this life. Although I have met some that are houses. I'll see you out there. Music tonight is by a band called AIDS Free, and it's called Father Father, and it's a ska number. All right? Ciao. Children!
back and they begin. Well, don't you fucking judge because the way that I look, because you're racist and depression doesn't make you look good. You're tattooed, skateboard, I bet you smoke cigarettes and change more. Your life, you're pushing to the core. Now it's time for you to accept my Lord, yeah. He's not for me.
Listening to the Run, Run, Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show, or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line, and I will see you out there.
Run, Run, Live, the podcast for all your running needs.